Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's program is part of the new They Found the Answer series, presented by The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. John Hirokawa is our featured guest today. As you listen, you may sense a special awareness of your desire to know God in a personal way. If you'd like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, visit www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. If you're listening to the show online, click on to the Get to Know Jesus link. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this moment with John Hirokawa. The Magic of Polynesia is one of the most successful shows in the history of the state of Hawaii. John Hirokawa is the star of that show, a show that has literally attracted audiences from all over the world. John is both an expert illusionist and an incredible showman. He grew up on Oahu, started his magic career at the age of 6. He did a magic trick that he learned from a library book. By 9 years old, he was performing at luaus and parties and conventions. By the age of 12, he appeared on stage with David Copperfield. And it got even better from there. He earned his business degree from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. And then he set out to make it big in showbiz. And you know what? He succeeded in spectacular fashion. He's won several awards, among them a Merlin Award for originality from the International Magician Society. And that puts him in the company of David Copperfield, Harry Blackstone, Doug Henning, and Siegfried and Roy. John is married to Nadine. He has 3 children, Megan, Bryson, and Brandon. And John Hirokawa is here with us in studio. John, welcome to our show.
Aloha. Boy, it sounds like I'm on stage right now. No audience.
Maybe no big audience here, yeah. But a big audience listening to us as we share. John, take us back. You know, I've been a fan of John Hirokawa for a long time. The Magic of Polynesia. How did you discover your passion for magic?
You know, that's a pretty interesting situation. I think I owe that to my parents. In my general nature, I'm a really shy, introverted person. Generally don't like to go out, and I'm just pretty much like to do my own things, not socialize too much. I'm just, you know, just my family. I think it's from my upbringing. And it's for some uncanny reason, my mom found that once I was placed into a group of people, that I wanted to be the ham. I wanted to be the class clown. I wanted to get all of the attention. So I think that's where she recognized that situation. Secondly, I used to watch TV a lot because I never used to like to go out, and I saw a magic show. I think it was called Mark Wilson's Magic Circus. When I was four or five, around that age, and I just took a fascination to that subject. And so my mom discovered that I liked to ham it up in front of the audience, and I liked magic. So she used to take me to the library. At that time, I couldn't read, and she read the magic tricks to me, taught me the tricks, and then I went and performed it for my family and friends. And so that's kind of basically how it started.
So how old were you?
I think when I officially got started in magic was probably about 6. And you know, my brothers and my brother and sisters got sick of me doing these tricks to them over and over and over again. So my mom had to find a new audience. So we used our relatives, her friends, my father's friends, and it's kind of just built from that point.
Now you would practice a lot.
I would practice a lot, but I just loved fooling people. I'm a weird guy, you know. I just felt I had this, I guess, supernatural power and ability to do something, and nobody knew how it was done, you know. Mm-hmm. And I got a kick off it. I really got a great kick off it.
So you mentioned that, you know, this happened when you were, before you were able to read. You know, in Hawaii, we're always interested in where people grow up, what school they went to. So,
country, I mean, Waihewa Elementary, Waihewa Intermediate, and Lelihua High School. You know, I tried all kind of sports. I tried swimming. I tried out for football. I mean, they kicked me out of that. I tried wrestling. I was in last place. Swimming, they told me to give it up. Went into band, you know, playing a clarinet. I was so bad that the band instructor told me to fake it. You know, fake the performance. Yeah, yeah. You know? So, you know, I went through all of those phases of not being accepted, not being part of a group, not being somebody who was special. I didn't do very good in school. But I really loved doing magic, and I loved getting out in front of people and hamming it up. I mean, I just can't explain it. I can get on stage in front of 10,000 people, but if you put me into a position of meeting somebody for the first time, I run away. It's really hard. So I know it's all, I give this credit to God. You know, God has given me something, and I know He gives everybody that special something.
You know, what intrigues me, and I wish it would happen more, I think our society needs more parents like your parents, mothers like your mom, who discovered that you had something very special. Now, did she tell you that you had this gift?
Well, this was so interesting because my mom was, I mean, like all parents, was so busy trying to bring up their kids and make ends meet, like how, you know, it is right now. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have a college degree. My father was just a painter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say he's just a painter, but he was a painter, and he supported, you know, our whole family. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest child. When I started to grow up, she said, well, forget it. Forget about the career. Forget about the money. I'm going to quit my job, and we'll make it. And she said, I'm going to see my son grow up, you know, because I guess she didn't have that opportunity with the other three kids.
So she did that.
Yeah. And so she kind of discovered at that point, okay, well, this guy is not good. My brother is good in sports, and my sister was good in academics, and I think she kind of quit, to be honest with you, because she kind of worried about what is he going to turn out to be, because he's not good in anything, you know. And I think at that point, she spent so much time. I guess if you look for all these hidden gems of you know, assets that people have, mm-hmm. everybody has something special. Everybody.
See, we live in a society where a lot of people, I mean, it's kind of a general statement, but they want to be somebody else. You know, look at, I want to look like somebody else. I want to talk like somebody else. I want to, and we do all kinds of things to try to be, and all along the years are just ticking away.
Yes.
And we fail to realize, sometimes it does get too late. You realize when, I wouldn't say to get too late. I mean, but you missed a lot of years of what God had already given you. And I guess part of the sad thing is that when you wait too long, you basically run out of time to cultivate that.
Yes.
That ability. Yeah, so like for you with magic early on, mom read books and you were doing it. What was it like for your family when you would do the tricks? You know, that after your brothers and sisters, and now you go into your aunties, uncles. What was it like when you did it in front of them?
That was interesting. I think, you know, obviously they find it amusing. Ah, I saw how you did that. And, you know, that kind of, you know, yeah. And it's like, okay. And then I got tired. They got tired of me performing for them. And I got tired because they pretty much ridiculed me. So, Yeah, it stayed for a little while, and then I just said, "Oh, I gotta find a new audience." You know, I found more pleasures performing for strangers because, you know, it's always like that, right? You're never somebody in your hometown. So
right.
I got out of my comfort zone and branched off. And it's so funny because when I had these, I can't explain. I have these deck of cards. I can just go up to anybody, you know. If I don't have my cards, then you won't find me. I'll be, you know, hiding in the corner, you know. Different, you know, it's a different situation. And my family knows that.
Now, over the years, like I said earlier, the luaus and things. Who set those things up for you?
My mom. My mom was a really astute business person. You know, she handled the bookings. She went out and bragged about me to everybody. I mean, I got sick of it, you know, but she was just this natural
promoter.
And then eventually she discovered a magic school, magic shop. It was called Magic and Novelty Center. And because she, up until that point, where she was just reading magic books, she got tired of that, you know. And then, so we looked, lo and behold, there was a magic shop and a magic classes on Alakir Street in on Baratania. And then she said, well, let's go try and go there. I think I was at the age of 8. And then they said that the school is only from students of starting from age 12. So she went and literally begged the instructor, pleaded on her knees, tearing, to take me. And so he accepted me. He said, the instructor said, you just waste your money because he won't have the attention span and the commitment to practice and so forth. And it started from there. Then she bought the magic shop eventually.
She bought the shop?
Oh, yeah, for me. And to, I mean, she was totally in back of, my parents were totally in back of what
all,
I was doing.
All out.
Yeah, all out. Absolutely.
And how did your brother and sister respond?
I'm the youngest, as I said, and they're a little older, you know. So they were kind of going on and doing their own things. But I mean, I understand it now that they look back and say, "Wow, I didn't know there was kind of a resentment," you know, because they didn't have that kind of opportunity as I did, you know. And I feel blessed. I feel very blessed and fortunate that I got to spend that time with my mom and my dad.
You know, I'm interested, when we come back from our break, John, for you to share with us about the vision that God had given you in your younger years for the career that you now have. How did it begin to form? When did you begin to see what you see ahead of time, what is now reality of where what God was doing? Mm-hmm. In your life. And then later on, about your journey of faith, how Christ came into your life. When we come back, we're going to hear more from John Hirokawa sharing about magic and some real amazing things that happened in his own life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of The Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. You're listening to a special rebroadcast featuring John Hirokawa in a series entitled They Found the Answer, presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more as you listen, to find out more about our show, to find out and get other resources for living the good life, to find out how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more with John Hirokawa. John Hirokawa. John is the master of ceremonies for the Magic of Polynesia show, one of the longest and most successful shows in Waikiki in the history of Hawaii. He is the star of the show, expert illusionist, magician, and he's here today speaking about his incredible life journey. And before our break, we were talking about how his passion for magic was discovered, how he himself began to experience the giftings that he had and just a knack of being in front of audiences and performing, and how his mother gave up a lot, gave up and put in everything so that her son could experience the fulfillment of his dreams. John, this vision that you had early on in your life, now it's been, what, over 20 years that you've had the show. How did it develop?
I was doing a lot of birthday parties, and I was doing very well. You know, I was at the age of 16, 17, doing very well, making a living doing magic. And it was the time that I was going to graduate from high school, and now I got to go into college. And I was fighting with my mom about, I don't want to go to college. You know, I do better what I'm doing now than if I was to graduate from college, because I hated school. And she was a valedictorian for her school, but she never had the opportunity to go to college. So it was over her dead body that I wasn't going to go to college. And she said, you know, magicians starve and you can't make a living off this, and this is fun for now, but you got to get your degree. Once you get your degree, whether, I don't care what kind of degree you get, then you can go after your dreams. And I'm going, no, I don't want to do that. And so we kind of fought. She won. I went to school. During the time in school, I said, I'd had this burning desire that I wanted to be, you know, David Copperfield is a friend. I wanted to do a David Copperfield type of show, but in Hawaii. You know, I thought, this is what I want to do with my life. I mean, absolutely was crystal clear, but the odds were so much against me. I mean, you had Don Ho, and you had all of Al Harrington, and you had all these international names who are headliners. How can a John Hirokawa magic show perform in Waikiki? Who would? And it would cost close to $1 to $2 million to start it up. This is in 1980s. And so for the 4 or 5 years, I forced myself to go to school. At the same time, I was just pounding on doors. I mean, just everybody and anybody that you can think of. And I got to the point where I was talking to actually tourist agents. Okay, what's wrong? What do you guys need in this industry? And they said, you got to have a Polynesian show, but we're sick of Polynesian shows. You get Polynesian shows all over. Well, what if I put magic in? What if I could make the hula girl float? Oh, these Japanese agents said, that's a great idea. That's kind of reinventing the wheel, making it more exciting. Magic is international, nonverbal sight, so everybody can understand that it's good for all ages. Great idea, great idea. And then again, I kept going out there talking to Don Ho, Al, I was begging everybody, Tihati's, you name it. And then it, through the course of 4 or 5 years, I ended up meeting Roy Tecujo, who was with Paradise Cove, and he was like an entrepreneur of the sorts. You know, he always liked to have new products. Mm-hmm. He liked what the idea was. I also went to Roberts from Robert Iwamoto, and he's a number one transportation company, so he knows the tourist market. And him and Roy financed the situation, and Don Ho gave us the opportunity to push his show up to the second show slot. And then we got right in there at the 6 o'clock slot at the Hilton Hawaiian Village Dome. And that's how it all started.
Wow. So it took years of like you said, pounding on doors.
Yes. And people laughing at you. I mean, just really? People laughing. I mean, that's why it's so important that, you know, the kids of the future, you know, now you never laugh. You just never... You always encourage. You never try to put them down. I think it's so important because you just don't know what can happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, this, you know, it's easy to say that it exists and, yeah, I can see it. But at that time, you know, that was an impossibility. You know, as they would say, tricks are for kids. You know, you're still doing magic once you grow up, you know. Mm. Get your degree, you know. And so those are the things that really, it hurt. It hurt. But I... Inside of me, I knew that this is, I got to do this. This is what I was born to do.
So, John, now you have that drive. You have that determination. You have these God-given gifts. And now it's becoming reality. You got the big name supporters. You got the money to bring it forth. Did you experience any times that things got a little bit hairy?
Yeah,
whether
for me,
it's
I actually became, to me, uglier. You know, it's a weird thing because we all strive to get what we want, and as we start to get those things, I think really as I analyze it, you don't know how to answer when you get those things. Hmm. You know, and that's why I think a lot of these entertainers or anybody who becomes successful, who has worked really hard to attain something. When they get it, it's like, what's next? And that is not making you happy. That's not really giving you, you know, the joy that you think you're going to get from that situation. And so what you do is you try to push your goal on a higher notch.
Okay.
And when you do that, I don't know. To me, I actually felt I got worse. As a person, you know, treating people not too good, became more about me. And the more money and the more fame, you become very self-centered. You start thinking that, you know, you're basically your own God, you know, in a certain sense. And I just got not easy to live with. I couldn't even live with myself. I knew I was turning, I was changing. But yet it was a dark time. It was a dark time for me because I didn't have the answers.
Were you married?
Yeah, I was going to get married. I mean, we broke up. Even I went through that phase. My Nadine was with me all through the years from high school. We were high school sweethearts.
Okay.
And as I got a bigger head, you know, I'm an idiot, but, you know, then I said, okay, well, I don't need her. And I, you know, things are, my horizon is that much more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hurt and you can lose the very people that put you into that position, you know, and that's all of those things happened, you know, a course of time. You know, I distanced myself from my mom and my dad, and it was just all about me, you know.
Mm. And what brought you back?
Oh, it was a course of time because I think when you're going through these processes, I praise God that that he opened my eyes. You know, I think a lot of times people don't find God. They don't want to lean to God, so they keep going on this deep end and just becoming more and more, you know, miserable through the situation. And that's why they turn to drugs and alcohol and other situations, because there is no answer. To me, without God, there is no answer. There really is no answer that can fill that void in your heart.
You know, you clearly articulate this void, that a path of seeming fulfillment, but it's almost interesting, almost like an illusion. It's a deception. It's when you get there, there's emptiness. There's a despair. How about your journey of faith?
Okay, what happened was during the latter part of it was about 1997, my dad got real ill. And my mom is a Christian. She was brought up as a Christian, very strong faith. My dad was a Buddhist, and they never really got along. I mean, we lived together, but I think when I look back, they stayed together for the kids.
Okay.
My dad was a samurai, a very samurai kind of type of person, not scared of anything. And then he got a heart attack, which over the years after his heart attack, he started to go downhill. Towards the ending, and this is when I'm performing and stuff, he would want to talk to the children, which he was never really close to us. You know, I was more close to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
He started to change, and he started to say that when he closed his eyes, he used to see the devil. He used to see beasts. He used to see animals that he has never seen. He used to have nightmares of catastrophes with us and with his friends. And he talked about when he closed his eyes, he sees this beast or this person with horns.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared the heck out of me, because if you know my dad, as I do, he just wouldn't talk that type of stuff. You know, there was no nonsense. He didn't believe in ghosts and all of those kind of situations. So for him to talk about that, during that course of time, he couldn't sleep. He also couldn't sleep. Because when he closes his eyes, he sees all of these animals and stuff. And so we took him to the doctor. The doctor checked him on. He said, well, he's just scared. He's just really scared. He then started to get a little bit more sick because he wasn't getting the sleep. His heart was, you know, degenerating, was going downhill. And he just wanted to be in the hospital. He felt that being in the hospital, he was safe. You know, if there was any need for him, they would have the immediate attention.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, go home, and he just wanted to stay in the hospital. He got really bad. He just kept going down. And he still couldn't sleep. We were taking turns, our family members sleeping with him in the hospital.
Yeah.
And every time he closed his eyes, you hear him talking, like, oh, I see this and I see that. And we were like, you know, don't worry, you're imagining it. And then the hospital, as well as my family, started to bring in different people. They started to bring in a Buddhist priest, a monk. They brought in a hand healer, all these different kind of people to kind of, I would say, both pacify my dad, make him feel more comfortable. And also, you know, the people that did bring those people in really felt that those people could help him.
John, this is intriguing, intriguing. When we come back, I want you to share more about what your dad, the horror that he was feeling. And then with all these people that are coming to help, what came as a result of it? And what happened in that situation where the light of God's hope began to shine for your dad and for you. You know, sometimes life can be horrific. Perhaps today you are facing some of your own horrors as you listen to this show. God has sent John Hirokawa here to share with you his story so that you would find hope in the Lord. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waihua dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chineta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
A rare moment is when you can sit with an accomplished person and hear them share things that most people would never know. This is one of those times. It's a special rebroadcast. They Found the Answer, a series presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to learn more, especially to find out what it means or how to have a relationship, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, click the Get to Know Jesus tab. And now let's take in more of The Good Life with John Hirokawa. John, You had me on the edge of my seat as I'm thinking about and listening of your dad. Your dad is seeing these horrific visions, nightmares. He can't sleep, doesn't want to sleep, and he's in the hospital. And then you're bringing in people, like you said, to pacify him. What kind of people did you guys bring in to help ease his?
Well, one of my brother's side, their belief is like a hand healing. I don't quite understand it, but it's a Japanese hand healing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they brought that in. I know the hospital has resources. Like, I think because he was Buddhist, so they brought in a monk, and they brought in a Buddhist priest.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was going through, I didn't kind of explain this, but as I was, when I started the Magical Polynesia, the first person I chose was this gentleman, Michael Valario. Michael is a devout Christian. He mm-hmm. converted when he was 17 or 18, and a really great friend, you know. And I chose him. He's a great magician. I chose him as my head assistant because I could trust him. And he was the only one that stuck with me for 21 years.
Hmm.
And I know that it's because of God, you know, mm-hmm. because as I said, how I was getting to be, you know, not the happiest guy around. He could stick with me through thick and thin because he felt God placed him into that position.
Like a calling.
Yeah, it's a calling for Michael, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And he always used to talk about God to me, and I go, yeah, you talk about your God, and you know, I don't need that God, and, mm-hmm. and so forth throughout that whole course of time. Well, when I got to the point, the end of my rope with my dad, because it was so disheartening and frustrating that to see him suffer the way he suffered, and to see that there was no spiritual correction to solve his issues, you know, I said, well, okay, I gotta try something. So I called Michael up, and I said, hey, Mike, and you know, Mike being who he is, sure, you know, I'll come down, you know, any time of the day you can call Michael. And he brings his Bible down to the hospital, and he asked my dad, you know, he wanted to stay with my dad for about 5 minutes, I guess, to explain all of the things that Jesus is. And then I came back in. He wanted to be by himself with my dad. And Mike comes out smiling, you know, when I'm outside the room. He said he accepted God. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, okay. That doesn't sound like my dad that he would do that, but okay. Mm-hmm. I go into the room, and my dad is like, I mean, a total change, you know. He didn't sleep. In that hospital, when they put morphine and everything to try to sedate him, he couldn't sleep. He just refused to sleep because of what he saw. I went inside. He looked at me, and then he fell asleep. It was just unbelievable. You know, at that instant, he fell asleep, and he had a... You look at his face. Before that, he has this anguish, this like he's tormented, you know, dark. I don't know how to explain it. He just didn't look like he was at peace. Mm-hmm. And now he looks like there's a glow to him, you know? And I was like, okay, I don't believe this. This is just too unbelievable. My dad wakes up, says that he's a Christian, and he says now he's ready to go home. He wants to go home. You know, he just refuses to go home. He says, I'm ready to go home now, you know? Says he accepted God, and... He never talked about seeing anything of that type. And he slept like a baby. I mean, from that point, he went home. He closes his eyes, and he was a changed person. Hmm. Totally changed person. Not scared of dying. And so at that point, that was when it really hit home for me, you know, because I just know my dad. I know that, you know, for somebody else's dad, it happened to probably wouldn't have that kind of effect. But for me, knowing his situation and knowing my dad, unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
So what difference did it make to you? How did it impact your relationship with Christ?
Everything. At that point, I knew God was real. Okay. You know, it really hit home that, okay, there is something about Christ. You know, it's not just a good story. And so I took my dad, because he wanted to continue to go to church. We took my dad, me and my wife, we took him to New Hope with Wayne Cordero. And that's where my Christian walk really started. You know, my eyes opened. I listened to the sermons. I started to read. Nadine's eyes opened to the situation. Mm-hmm. And it started from there. It really, to me, that was, I would say, would be the beginning of where my faith started.
John, take us with you on that, you know, as you explain that's where the journey really started. You explain about your dad. Now you're at New Hope. What was going on in your spirit? What was the Holy Spirit doing in your life at that time?
The spirit before that was restless. You know, it was always this void. It's always this unhappiness, and always things are not right. It could be better. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I need to make more money. I should be where David Copperfield is. I mean, you go through all of these things, and all of a sudden, when I opened the Word and I listened to the sermons, and then we were, you know, studying, it just, God speaks to you, and it just gave me this peace that, you know, surpasses all understanding. And so my whole focus at that point just changed. I mean, everything, my eyes opened. My eyes opened to who I was, what I was becoming, and where I'm going, you know, and what that relationship with God is, how it makes you inside, you know. I'm careful to say the feelings that you get, because a lot of people say feelings, but you cannot go by feelings. Yeah, you know, I still get mad, I still blow it, I still have desires, you know, like everybody else. But I have God, so I have this joy, and I just know where I'm gonna be one day with Christ, and what really matters in life.
Now, what difference has it made in your profession?
In my profession now, I think it's as I get older, you know, I can't jump around and everything. That's to me an endless journey, and I think God does that on purpose. I mean, I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I do know that He is in me, and I love Him a lot. And right now, I'm going through this. I know God has something in store for my next step. And I think I could never look at not entertaining, because I love what I do. But if God leads me in another path, then that's where I'm going, because He has something better for me.
You know, you're at a place where you can reflect back and you can see the fingerprints of God in your life from childhood, the gifting that He gifted you with, just the disposition, the grace, the ease, things that actually other people, if not in the right environment, like with your mom, which was a very, like a greenhouse for you, you know, where you could flourish. You know, a lot of people, other people may have had that gift squandered, but now it grew and you went through the process and really confronted by the testings and the challenges that that the world has to offer. But through it all, you've come to know the Lord in a very personal way. What difference has Christ made, John, in your relationship with Nadine, and then with your children, your family?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, you know, it's God first. I could never understand that. God first, and then my family, and then my career. Now, when I look at my work is my work. I do it. I do the show. I take off my costume. I don't want to see a picture of myself, or I don't want to even be known as a magician or an entertainer. And I go into my family life, and that's where really I enjoy the most. You know, my kids playing their sports. My girl is so academically inclined. I just marvel at how much she loves schoolwork, and you know, and my wife, just spending the time with my wife, doing our family trips, spending the family time, because it's if I can tell you guys anything, that they grow up so fast. And, you know, our time on earth is so short, you know, and that perspective from God's grew about, you know, family and prioritizing what comes first. You know, as I said, God and then your family. Now everything falls into place. You know, the job now is not, you know, I love it. You know, don't get me wrong. I love getting out there. That's how I express myself. But if I had to choose, I have to choose my family, and I love doing that. And I thank God that I didn't sacrifice my family time for my career, because I know at the end of my life, I would say if I could turn something around, it would have been my family would have been first. And I've learned this from God, from Proverbs, as well as just listening to, you know, knowing people who are very prominent who have sacrificed everything to get to a point where they have everything. And they're, what they all say, what I have a common situation is they would have gave up everything if they could turn the clock back and spend the time. And what they look at it now is the only way that they can resolve that guilt is saying, well, I'm going to build their future. You know, I'm going to make all this and set up their future, so when I leave, they're taken care of. You know?
John, when we come back, you know, you have shared and you have lived and you have faced your giants. You have taken your bumps and bruises along the way, sometimes black and blue. People get black and blue today too because of the economic challenges that they face, the relational challenges that they face. I'm wondering when we come back, John, if you... we share heart to heart, you know, what you would say to somebody, if somebody were here with us, because somebody is listening, what would you say to them if they said, "Hey, John, I'm going through a real rough time right now. Give me a word of encouragement. Give me a word of hope. When we come back, would you share something with us in that respect?" If you will, that would be a big difference. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with more from John Hirokawa. Beneath the barren sky, leave it to me.
I'll lead you home. On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. This is a special rebroadcast presented by The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show in a series entitled They Found the Answer. Our featured guest is John Hirokawa. If you're asking as you listen, wow, how can I have a relationship with Jesus just like John? Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And when you go, click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We have more resources there too, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more with John Hirokawa. John Hirokawa, the star of The Magic of Polynesia. One of Waikiki's most prolific, long-lasting, and dynamic shows, most successful shows, in the history of Hawaii. And John has had some of the finest names of entertainment standing with him, like Don Ho and Al Harrington and others who have stood with him in the early years. Now the show's been going on for over two decades. But John has shared with us kind of a behind-the-scenes story of his journey, the journey of his life and the difference that Christ has made. You know, John, you've been through a lot. You've had your bumps and bruises along the road of life. But, you know, today people are struggling with some tough times too. If someone were to come to you and say, "Hey, John, and I'm really struggling right now, you got any words of wisdom for me, any encouragement for me?" What would you say?
You know, if I was to sum up that situation, because everybody has so many different situations that they're going through, and there is no, sometimes there is no easy answer. I would say the best solution would be, and I beg you guys to just ask God, give God a try. Ask God, God, if you are real, come into my life, help me with my situation, solve my situation, and give me a peace. If you're real, Lord. And try that. Try that prayer and see how he does and how he solves or orchestrates everything for you. So that situation can become real to you. I would say, secondly, would be to hook up with a church, you know, that you feel comfortable with. And if you don't know one, then call up Danny Yamashiro. I'm sure he can appoint some church to you. And just get into the Word. You'll be surprised, amazed, not surprised, at how the Bible, the words just pop. You know, and your eyes just open, and you just, and you get it. All of a sudden, you just get it. You know, rather than just being another religion, what that means about Christ dying on the cross and you taking up your cross and how he changes your whole life, you know, and you know, it's that's basically what I, you know, would love to emphasize to all of you who are going through something right now.
John, I'm wondering, you know, if you'd be willing to do this. You know, sometimes when we share, sometimes people say, can you, can you say a prayer for me? I wonder if you can just say a prayer for that listener who's driving right now, that listener who's listening at home or at work, and just in their heart, they're saying, oh man, I it's like God is speaking to me. And I think there's a way where as you pray, as we pray, that God can work in the life as they put their faith in Christ and they say, God, yeah, I want to open my heart to you. I want you to move in my life. Show me like you showed John, you know, how real you are. John, can you lead us in a prayer?
Sure. Our Heavenly Father, I just ask you that you, first of all, that anybody who is out there would accept you as their God, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. I ask that you come into their heart, Lord, and just open their eyes, open their heart to receive you, Lord, and so that they can have the abundance of life, they can have the peace, and know that everything is going to be okay no matter what, because the person who is in control is you. I ask you, Lord, that you you guide them and you comfort them, Lord, and that they know that you are real and that they can put all of their trust and their decisions on you, Lord. Because a lot of times these decisions cannot be solved by ourselves. In fact, most of these situations, that this economy and everything that everybody's going through, we cannot look up to our leaders now. We don't know who to trust. That there is one person that we know never changes, that was from the past to the present to the future, is the same. Lord, I just ask that you bless these people, Lord, and that you help them through their ordeal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, in the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from other guests that we have in our studio. But you know, every once in a while, the Lord will bring a special person like a John Hirokawa who would be used by God to share heart to heart. I want you to invite someone to listen in to the Good Life Hawaii radio show and invite them to be inspired. You might even know a gripping story. Go ahead and share that with me. You can reach me at danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org, or you can reach me on Facebook. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Get your friends and family members to listen in as well. And this is a special broadcast presentation of They Found the Answer. I want to remind you, declare His glory among the nations, here's the scripture, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. That's from Psalm 96, verse 3. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, John Hirokawa. In this special broadcast, They Found the Answer. To find out more, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.